Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alex, are you in the holiday radio show? Do you know yet? The scripts came out today. Dave Klein was all excited. He saw a couple of boxes in our office. He thought they were donuts or something like that. He lives
for
that.
Oh, how disappointed he must have been.
I know. That's all that were in there were a bunch of scripts. So I can't remember. Are you in this or are you holding on the fourth
year? I haven't seen the script yet.
Well, that means you're not in it, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I'm in it this year.
Well, because you, were you in it before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I've been, this will be my third one and the first one that I'm not in.
Well, I can't confirm that, though. I'm just saying if you didn't get a script, but you might be here working that night was what I was thinking,
yeah,
that's
true. If it's a Monday, I probably will be here. Yeah,
I think it is a Monday. I haven't read through it yet. Usually I get killed off in these things, so we'll see what happens.
Killed off as you walk out to your intro music?
Hey, Fred, yeah, right, exactly. It's pretty much that. Fred, can you grab Kevin? Can you get him for me and see if we can get... He's not doing anything. What is he doing there, right?
News.
Well, I got a... Oh, yeah, there is that. He might be working on something.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jason Stockley-related news today, so.
No, I know he's doing that. Let's see if we can get him in here, though. But, yeah, I just found this thing. I don't know anything about it. Don't really know the story. Kevin, we're just talking here. First of all, did you not cast Alex here in the holiday radio show? A little concerned about that. I'm acting as his agent.
I would also
right now
like you to look me in the face and explain why.
Well,
this is an uncomfortable moment. There's tension in the room. I can feel it building.
Yeah, there's some stories that are like the Poseidon Adventure where you have a whole ship full of people. And then there's others that are like, you know, little parlor comedies, which we have here. And, you know, unfortunately.
Let me ask this question. Does Gentry Trotter have a role this year?
No.
Okay,
no.
There. Well, Alex wouldn't feel too bad then.
Yeah, okay.
You did a great job. I mean, there's no slight. I mean, last year you played the Russian agent.
People still talk about that. Well, two people still talk about that.
But. You could say, you know what, you can spin it this way. I'm taking a year off, you know, a little sabbatical. Last year was pretty intense for you.
Last year, Ryan Recker had a huge part, but he just has a smaller part. So, I'm supposed to rotate people around. That's all.
By the way, I'm not actually offended. I just thought it would be humorous to see how you react.
I was impressed with myself that you were. Now I feel less.
Oh.
Now, if Reardon gets
I take it
sick.
Back.
Yeah, what's the deal here? I haven't really looked through it here. You want to be my understudy? Because there's a very good chance I might be sick that night.
Oh, yeah?
It happens every once in a while.
It's a lot of fun. You know,
I mean, I'm sick right now, yet I'm here.
This script, but you guys, you, with your ad libs and your, you know, sideways glances, you sell it.
It's magic. So could you tell me about my role here?
Well, it's a story about a St. Louis family and their adult children who are coming home for Christmas.
Okay.
And you are the Colorado couple, you and Jane.
Is there weed involved? There should be.
Possibly.
Okay, good.
Are
edibles part of the story? Should we bring some props, Kevin?
I don't think those aren't...
He's like ignoring my questions here.
He's looking at me even though I'm not talking.
I know.
So,
you notice that?
So I don't think edibles are going to be legal in Missouri by the time the holiday radio
the
show rolls around.
No, you're probably right about that.
Especially not for non-medical conditions.
We'll use little pieces of candy and say
you
that.
A chance to watch Jane get unhinged.
I watch that every day on Twitter, and I see it in person every Friday between 2 and 4. So that would be unique. Why?
Because you don't do it on stage, I guess.
All right. Anyway, so what? I'm one of the...
I'm just kidding.
I'm from Colorado, and I'm an adult child, right? Who's my mom?
Debbie Monterey.
Who's my dad?
Charlie Brennan.
Who's my siblings?
Tom Ackerman and his wife, Amy Markscore.
Uh-huh.
And he's a successful proctologist from another state.
Of course he is.
And then your other sister would be Maria Kina. She's the unmarried adult daughter who's at home with the family. And the family's going through a lot of changes.
All right.
So it's just a comedy, you know.
I can't wait for this.
It's always fun. It really is. And we are, it's a little later than usual. Typically, it would have been next Monday or this coming up Monday, but it's a week from then on the 17th, right, Kevin?
December the 17th.
Tickets are available. If you can't get them, don't worry. Craigslist and eBay will have you covered. They usually don't go for more than about $250.
On Craigslist and eBay, of course.
$2.50, right. But there's high demand. And this script is cherished, and I'll have the cast autograph it. We'll throw that up on eBay and probably sell that for $2.50, too. Kevin, I love you. You know I love you. I can't wait.
Get your yellow marker. We're expecting big things from you, Reardon.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for the rehearsal. That's what I live for. All right, guys. Alex, I believe that Carol is back. So you're off the hook. You don't have to deal with me anymore until after 5 o'clock. But it was a pleasure spending three newscasts with you.
All right. And you as well. We'll do it again.
Let's go to something torturous here, ladies and gentlemen.
I threw a wish in the well.
Don't ask me, I'll never.
This is something called Kids Bop. And I think for those of you who might be just a little older, you might not be familiar with this. But Kids Bop is these annoying teenage kids, and I don't know where they find them. And they record versions of popular songs. Like this was Call Me Maybe. This is a song that was out a few years ago.
Think it's going, baby? Hey, I just met you.
Carly Rae Jepsen. Carly, I think I call her Harley. Carly Rae Jepsen did this.
Call me maybe. It's hard.
And she did it, well, I don't know if she did a whole lot better than this, but it was a catchy song, right? And they do, here's one, Party Rock Anthem.
Let's go. Party Rock is in the house.
So I bring it up because the Kids Bop World Tour is coming to St. Louis. The first ever world tour to Australia and London before heading to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The service is huge, ladies and gentlemen. Kids Bop, the number one music brand for kids, blah, and Live Nation announced the global expansion of Kids Bop Live Tour. They're coming here. Let's see if get the date because I know that they're hopping around this. I can't play that anymore. I got one more song, but that one I have to get rid of. Let's see here. Baltimore, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Virginia Beach, Alpharetta, Georgia, Charlotte. Oh, Riviera Maya. We could plan our vacation. You know, that might not be a bad idea. Let's plan a vacation mid-August to Riviera Maya, even though it's the same temperature or warmer here at that time. Where the heck is our show, Klein? Wait a second here. Now I'm worried. Ah, here we go. June 15th. This is what surprised me. This is at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, ladies and gentlemen. It's not at the Sheldon. It's not at the Pageant. It's for 12-plus thousand moms and dads to bring their kids. Now, here's my advice to the parents out there who are tempted to do this. And I hate to do it because I love my friends at Live Nation, and most people are going to not take my advice anyway. And you would be unwise to regularly take my advice on anything.
What?
But let me implore you and make a passionate case here as a father of three children, older children who have pretty good musical taste right now, and a little daughter who loves music, and she loves to dance around to music. You know what she listens to? She listens to music. To real music. She doesn't listen to manufactured crap. Play the song. There are plenty of songs out there that you can listen to, mom and dad, that your kids might like, and put a little playlist together. I have a playlist called Alexa Rocks, and I got Florida Georgia Line in there with Bebe Rexha. I have Ghostbusters. She loves Ghostbusters. There's some songs from Moana. Unfortunately, there's the Frozen songs. Got to deal with those. I like them, just that I've heard them way too many times, and then just listen to, like, real music. Now, I always tried to get my kids to listen to classic rock, and that was a massive fail. However, I hold out hope that there was some good rock and roll education there. I took them to Bruce Springsteen and to the Rolling Stones. My son went to the Rolling Stones when he was 16 years old. I think there's an appreciation for that later in life. I just don't get why Kids Bop is so popular, and I think parents should really, really do their best to maybe not put their kids or yourself through that. Now, let me offer another example here of something that you can do. There's a band in the 80s called the Del Fuegos. And there was these guys came in, they did a little mini reunion tour, and they went to the old rock house. And about, well, this goes back to when we were in the old building. So this is 6 or 7 years ago. They came in. And I had a chance to talk to one of my favorite bands. Well, the reason I bring it up is Dan Zanes, and let me see if I can play some of his music here. Dan Zanes, in this rock band from the 80s, went on to do some pretty fun kids' music, and it's for little kids. This one's called Redbird, kind of ties into St. Louis here a little bit unintentionally, and he just writes music for children. He kind of parlayed his rock and roll career into this, and he's won several Grammys for this. Dan Zanes and friends, this
Redbird
one again.
Soon in the morning, Redbird. Soon in the morning, Redbird. Soon in the morning, Redbird. Redbird. Soon in the morning.
So there's an example. I mean, might not be your type of music, but it's certainly better than Kids Bop. Warren Zanes is one of the guys who has, well, he wrote the Tom Petty book. He was also in the Del Fuego. So his brother Warren, who is on the board of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and also wrote the book on Tom Petty, He's really a good guy, and Dan has had a great career with doing kids' music and winning Grammys. So there are options out there. I implore you to find out options. Find good music. Don't rely on the crap. Please, please don't do it. I'm begging you, ladies and gentlemen. Despite that, people are going to buy tickets for... And if your kids say they like Kids Bop, convince them they're wrong. They're wrong all the time about a lot of other things as well. David Steelman, our official University of Missouri curator, coming up next on KMOX. Oh, man, I'm talking to my producer, and I'm not paying attention. This is what happens on a regular basis with this show, so I didn't have any music ready to go, so I have to kind of... Here, we'll just do this. Here we go.
Just hear the sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling.
Dave, I blame you because I'm sitting here chatting with you and you didn't give me the heads up that I was coming back on the air. But I had a friend of mine who texted me and said, sometimes Kids Bop cleans up the lyrics. I assured her that, and I think this has been proven by the FDA and government studies, profanity for young children far, far better than music from Kids Bop. I think there would be long-term damage to your kids from Kids Bop music is far worse than, you know, I don't know, bad word here or there. Just keep that in mind, parents. I'm trying to help you, I really am. And your children. It's all about the kids. Think about it that way. It's all about the kids. It's 3:20. We have a Reardon Roundtable coming up tomorrow. Should be pretty darn good. Jane Duker, Jack Cardetti, and Greg Keller. Actress Stephanie Barron, she's from St. Louis. There's a movie called Big Kill that is... Actually, there's an opportunity if I can find my stuff. I got stuff over here. She is going to be in town tomorrow. She's going to be on this show, and she's going to be in town with the director tomorrow night. Your opportunity to see that movie. Let me see. I found it. Marcus Chesterfield, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Big Kill. It's an old-fashioned Western. Scott Martin is the director. He also is in the movie. Jason Patrick's in that film, and a bunch of other people you would recognize. Danny Trejo, I love him. So you can buy tickets or go to the box office if it doesn't sell out tomorrow, 7 p.m., Marcus Chesterfield for Big Kill, and I'm looking forward to meeting Stephanie, who is from right here in St. Louis. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined right now on this Thursday afternoon program by the official University of Missouri curator David Steelman for the Mark Reardon Show. It's a very special honor, probably even more special than being on the board itself, and he recognizes that. David, how are you? Oh, he must not recognize it because he just hung up on me. Well, I guess he didn't like his intro. I just pressed the button, and the cell phone signal must have gone out. Coming up in the next segment here as we get to 3:35, Carolyn Kindle-Betz is going to join us. She's, of course, a senior VP at Enterprise. Everyone's buzzing about the MLS plan. She's going to give us an update on that. We'll get back into the Golden Globe nominations at 4:20 with my buddy Kevin Steincross, film critic and also a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. And our nominations for BFCA, the Critics' Choice Awards, those will come out next week. So the Golden Globes kind of gets a jump on that. We talked a little bit earlier this afternoon with John Rooney, also about the Paul Goldschmidt deal, and you can find that online at KMOX.com. I did this big buildup for you, David, in your intro, and then I went to you and you were gone. How are you?
No, I thought you hung up on me.
No, why? You're the official board of curator member for this show. How could I hang up on you?
No. It's funny because when I first started making these brief appearances on your show, it was all bad news. And Mark, now I hate to say it, I don't want to jinx this. Everything's looking good right now at Mizzou and the whole university system.
Well, you were one that told and pointed this out, and I always do appreciate coming on here and keeping us updated. But obviously, we went through a pretty rough period with a variety of issues at the University of Missouri, and particularly the Columbia campus. But wow, you're right. Things have kind of come together, and I had Jim Sterk on. I think you might have helped us with that yesterday, timing out perfectly to the announcement that Barry Odom got the contract extension and the raise. And of course, the board had to vote on that and sign that paperwork, right, David?
Oh, it was a real pleasure for me. I think I've said this on your show a variety of times. Leadership matters, and talk about the athletic department and Jim Sterk. I wouldn't trade Jim Sterk for any other athletic director in the country. He got the Kunzo Martin deal done. He's done a great job with Barry Odom, who's done a great job with the football program. And it's not just the revenue-producing sports. We've got a great women's basketball coach. We've got great coaching up and down that not only is producing winners, but really changing the lives of of the young men and women that they coach. And I, it sounds just almost too good to be true. We have some really remarkable leadership at the university, including the athletic department.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm really impressed with how quickly some of this has moved in a positive direction. And, you know, Jim could not talk about the Kelly Bryant transfer yesterday because that's not altogether official. But there, I made this prediction, and I think it's going to hold. I believe that this football team will be ranked preseason next year because of the returning starters and because of Kelly Bryant. That doesn't really mean anything. You still got to win games, but it's nice to have the attention and all these things. And David, you talked about this even with the Porter situation, and that didn't, Michael and Jonte didn't turn out exactly how we had hoped for, you know, reasons that we all now know with injuries, but that shined a light on the university in a positive way. And the Kelly Bryant thing does as well. That gets students from around the country excited about learning to come to Mizzou.
Well, let me say this about the Porter thing. I think sometimes people think that we kind of overdo sports, but the truth is sports is the front door to the university. That is the world we live in, and people love sports. But the Porters, both Michael and Jonte, they could have attended any university in the United States or in the world for that matter, and they chose Mizzou. Same thing with Kelly Bryant. If he wanted to, he could attend any university in this country, but he, so far, it looks like he's chosen Mizzou. That says a lot about the university. It says a lot about our people.
What are the, you know, when you guys discuss some of these things, let me ask about the Odom situation, because obviously the reality of it is you want to have a coach, you want to have confidence in a coach, because when a Kelly Bryant or somebody else is interested in coming to play, you have to have that stability. So when the winning streak kind of starts rolling here in the latter half of the season, how does the board handle that? I mean, are you lobbied by different people on this? Do you just have discussions? How do you determine where you're going to go with that? Can you give us any insight?
Well, obviously, there's a few people start lobbying, and you have these discussions. But let me say this, which is very interesting about Coach Odom, which is why it is such a pleasure to be in a contractual situation with a man like that. We're always having the pressure of winning and losing games. Let's face it. Let's be honest. When you get into Division I sports and you get into Power 5 conferences, you have to be a winner. But the real difference with Coach Odom is not just that he's a winner, but what he's doing with that football team. I'm sure you remember that when the events of 2015 took a wrong turn, the football team was right in the middle of that.
That's right.
Coach Odom has totally changed the culture and the attitude of not just the football team, but the athletic department. And that changes the culture and the attitude of the students. So I think what I'm trying to say is when we have these discussions with Barry Odom, it is not just that he's a winner. And everybody can roll their eyes, but he is a guy who understands the obligation of the university to the young people that we have responsibility for, and that's what really makes a difference to the board.
I don't have these numbers handy, and I'm not so sure you do either, so I don't know if it's fair to ask you the question, but do you have any kind of gut check or where these numbers on enrollment have gone in the past couple of years after taking a dip? They are heading in a better direction, right?
No, they're heading in a good direction. Yeah. We were up. I don't have the numbers right now, but over throughout the university, they're up, but at University of Missouri-Columbia, Mizzou, they were up the largest amount percentage-wise in over a decade.
We know that after 2015, and I was certainly one kind of pounding the gavel here, there were a lot of unhappy alums in the St. Louis area across the state and around the country with the way all of that went down. I tend to think a lot of that anger has subsided right now, David, because of the positive movement and direction.
I don't hear any of it anymore. Yeah. I really don't. It's not just regarding the sports program, it's regarding the university. I'm knocking on wood right now. All I hear is how happy the people of this state are that we're moving forward. And let me say this, is reflected in the leadership of this state. You know, Governor Parson issued a letter asking me and John Sunvolt to stay on a year past our terms, and I don't take that. Obviously, I appreciate that confidence in me, and I'm sure John Sunvolt would say the same thing. But what he's really doing is saying, I'm happy. As governor of this state, Governor Parson has said, I like the direction of the University of Missouri, and that's important to us.
The only thing that still needs to happen, and I don't know if the board can do anything about this, is my son, Evan, who's 21, needs to graduate on time because I need to get him off the damn payroll, David.
Let me say this. There are things we can do about it. Enrollment time is an important consideration of the university, but having had a son go through Mizzou, there may be things that the university can control and there may not.
I think he's doing okay, though. He's finally found, you know, this was a kid who he really didn't have a lot of ambition. And I think a lot of young people are like that. And it was frustrating for me as a parent because I don't know about you, but when I was, you know, I started in radio when I was 15 years old here at this little 10-watt station. And I was probably playing at 11 or 12 with my headphones and records and, you know, trying to be a disc jockey. So I sort of knew and I was motivated by that throughout my entire high school and my college career because I wanted to be on the radio or on television. But he didn't really know what he wanted to do. Now he's got a pretty good idea, at least the direction. It just took a little while. And I hear that from parents a lot. We, you know, not everyone figures it out right away.
Well, this is why we have to keep the cost of university down. And this is why the University of Missouri right now, by the way, we have done a good job of keeping it down as compared to the rest of the country. Because university is not just about training people for a job. It's also about allowing people. I was the same way. I went in thinking I was going to go into a totally unrelated field to law, which is what I went into. It is a time when people can find themselves. And I guess that maybe that sounds a little squishy, but that's why we need to keep the cost of university affordable, because it's not all about job training. It's about people, young people, deciding who they want to be and what kind of people they want to be. And that's an important thing that happens. So
when Governor Parson asked you to stay on for that extra year, I'm guessing he also cited the fact that you're the official curator for the Mark Reardon Show. That had to be at least part of it.
But I'm sure it was an oversight.
Okay, I'm sure it was. David Steelman with us this afternoon. Hey, say hi to Sarah. Have a great Christmas and holiday season.
Say hi to Jack Cardetti. He is a fellow Phelps Countyan. Don't let him forget it.
He's a good dude. He's coming in for the roundtable tomorrow. Thanks, David.
All right.
All right, take care. 3:30 at KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday afternoon, that's tomorrow, Reardon Roundtable, Jack Cardetti, Greg Keller, and Jane Duker on the panel, actress Stephanie Barron. She's from right here in St. Louis, and she's the star of a new movie called Big Kill. It's an old-fashioned Western, and there's an opportunity to see it out in Chesterfield tomorrow night. We have my buddy Kevin Steincross in the next hour, run down the Golden Globe nominations, which came out today. The Grammy nominations were supposed to come out yesterday. They delayed those because of the funeral for Bush 41, and they're going to release those tomorrow. The Grammys are kind of a joke, though. And as much of a music fan as I am, I tend to have trouble relating to many of those nominations. Let's talk a little bit here about Major League Soccer and where we are on that. And it's been an exciting couple of weeks. Carolyn Kendall Betts with us, Senior VP and Enterprise involved in this ownership group. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
If you think back to like a month ago, did you ever anticipate doing this many media interviews in your entire life?
No. Actually, I did not, and you could argue that a month ago you probably wouldn't want me to do media interviews.
Well, no, of course we would have, but this has been, it's been a lot of fun, and I was just looking at some of the coverage from last week and the picture of you kind of high-fiving Lewis Reed, which was cool. And I think this is very special because you're this far in the process, even though it's not a done deal, despite the assistance of Dan McLaughlin. I think that's pretty good that you achieved that.
I don't know if he would appreciate you saying that, but I have.
Well, he just texted me and he said, "I bet you're going to kill me with Carolyn." And I wasn't thinking about it, but I thought I'd tease him anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, his speech on Wednesday at the Aldermanic Committee meeting moved people to tears. And I think to have somebody with that kind of story and that kind of passion is a good representation of what we're seeing. And so I could not have delivered a passionate speech like that. So I'm glad that he stepped up and delivered that speech for me.
No, it was awesome, and I just don't like to inflate that ego anymore. But look, everybody reacted. We were watching it live here. I told Dan that. I had him on that afternoon. And, you know, one of the big parts of this, and you know this, Carolyn, and I think there's a lot of appreciation, is this isn't just about soccer, right? This is about our whole region and our area, and we need a win, and this could potentially be that win.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we just came from the announcement of the United States women national team playing one of their World Cup qualifying games here. And the turnout is amazing. And I think that there are so many people in this city and in this region. And I think even if you don't necessarily like soccer, just to sort of have the excitement and to see people in the scarves and the hats and the high fives that are going on, it's been amazing. And the support, you can't even imagine in your wildest dreams the incredible amount of support we've had from everybody.
Okay, so that brings us to this week and where we're going to be moving forward. What still needs to happen now? I know that you went to the playoffs in Kansas City last week, and you know, you've had discussions with the league. It seems like everything is falling into place, but what has to happen next?
I think that we would like to get the land piece a little bit more locked down. But I have to be careful how I say that, because the city and the state are working overtime trying to get that done. So I think our application, I would say I feel pretty confident, is pretty complete. But I think we want to make sure and have that land a little bit more secured, or feel a little bit better about that we will have the land in the city's control before we send the application.
So is there would be an updated timetable based on that, or is that just depends on when they get that work done?
I am hoping that we can submit that application by the end of the calendar year. And Linda Martinez, the whole team over at SLDC, certainly her counterparts in Jeff City, like I said, I mean, they're giving us updates daily. They are working very diligently to try to get that piece at least in a good place for us to put it into the application.
So when it comes to competition for this franchise, you know, I think everyone's kind of operating on the assumption that this is a sort of a done deal, and I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing because we want it to happen, but is there competition for this? I mean, is there a chance? No one's really kind of indicated that there's a chance that this might not happen, but again, until all the paperwork's signed, you don't know.
Exactly. I would tell you that I personally, I don't know how you could compete with our application. I think this ownership group is, you know, out of this world. We work very well together. I think the majority female-led ownership piece, that'll be the first in franchise history. The aldermanic committee vote and the full board vote, if that doesn't say to the MLS that St. Louis wants this team, I don't know what else will. However, we haven't really heard anything from the people that are competing, so anything I would say would be speculation right now. But we're just going to go ahead and keep going down the path because, again, you're dealing with a competitive group of owners. We want to have the best application by far.
All right. Well, listen, congratulations on getting this far in the process. And obviously, you're going to keep us posted. I'm very good at answering dumb questions, or asking dumb questions and answering. But have we thought about a name for this franchise yet?
Well, the MLS has rules around that because their philosophy is you don't have a team yet, so you can't have a
right.
name.
We could have a little fun with that, couldn't we?
Oh, you would not. You'd be surprised about some of the names that we've gotten.
You know what? Nothing surprised. They're trying to ban Baby It's Cold Outside. Nothing surprises me in 2018, Carolyn. I'll let you go. You tell your husband he still owes me 4 golf lessons, okay?
I will do that. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Take care. Good luck. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Yeah, Adam, her husband, who runs Family Golf out in... Well, I guess that would be Kirkwood. It's what a great, I had never been there. I don't know why, and I think they just redid it and everything, but Adam's a good golf instructor, and he has, if he can improve my game, he's a miracle worker. Now, she mentioned something that I knew was going to happen, but I had forgotten that it was announced today. They had the news conference, so the Cardinals announced that the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is going to play against a national team that's still going to be determined on Thursday, May 16th. So this is another one of those big, big events with soccer. I'm guessing by that time we're going to have a pretty hard timeline on the MLS franchise. They're calling it the Countdown to the Cup Tour. Bill DeWitt III said, "We're very excited to bring the number one women's soccer team in the world, our U.S. Women's National Team, back to Busch Stadium." Of course, this was 3 years ago, 2015, when they played New Zealand 4-0. And then we had a couple other games there, too. And these are cheap tickets, too. $35 tickets is where they start. The tickets go on sale, or I guess did go on sale. Now, wait a second. Let me check that, because I'm pretty good at passing along.
You are fake news.
That's right. I think it's next week. It is the 13th. So a week from today, the tickets go on sale for the U.S. national game, the women's national soccer team, coming up Thursday, May 16th at Busch Stadium. We'll take a break. We get to traffic coming up.
Get your news now and talk about it tonight at 10 with Ryan Recker on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hey, girl, is he everything you wanted in there?
Little JT, Justin Timberlake, because his concert, which was set for next Thursday, has been rescheduled for, I think it's March. We were trying to find the date. They redid the tour dates. And you can get, if you have tickets for this, if you're just hearing about this now, you can get a refund. But the show has been rescheduled. I have a couple of tickets for that. My wife was going to go with a friend. So I guess we got to decide what to do on that. Let's see. Before we get to Roger with traffic, you know, I started the afternoon, at least part of the afternoon, with more of this nonsense about banning Baby It's Cold Outside. And, you know, the same killjoys that comprise the social justice warrior community that are finding trouble with that song and others have also attacked Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And the Huffington Post even went on. Now, some of this, I really do hope, like PETA does this every once in a while, and they did it with a release this week. They do it to gain attention. They come up with these outrageous things that people, you know, get all upset about and they tweet about, when in fact, I think they're trying to do it on purpose just to draw attention. In this particular case, I'm guessing maybe that's what the Huffington Post is doing too, because they want clicks. And they called the cartoon seriously problematic. And I'm not even making this up, because there are people that think that it encourages bullying. Even though, if you remember the story, haven't we seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Isn't the lesson there is that bullying is not good, that they're the bad guys, right? Rudolph's the hero in that. But the bad guys include the father of Rudolph's doe friend, Clarice, too. Keep that in mind. They claim it promotes gender stereotypes. Donner tells the wife that she can't join the search for Rudolph because this is man's work. It's a Me Too moment right there. The actress that played Rudolph, Corinne Connolly, thinks that the social justice busybodies go too far. She was doing an interview with TMZ, and she set the record straight, called them the Scrooges that they are. Connolly said that sometimes people cry when they learn that she was one of the voices in the film because it touched so many people. And while the movie does contain bullying, even Santa berates Rudolph's dad for something his son was simply born with, she says it all works out in the end, and that to her is what matters. I just can't imagine it affecting anyone in a negative way. They must be like Scrooge. Tell them to watch Scrooge. And I think she's right about that. Why do we have to pick at every little thing and be outraged by it? Brandon Morse wrote about this on hotair.com and said, yeah, Connolly's right. Not only are the bullies in the story shown the error of their ways, but the entire story is about overcoming adversity. Use the gifts that you've been given to, your unique abilities. That's what the story is about. So you have the social justice obsessed, I can't even say the word I want to use, out there, and all they care about is taking joy away from people who get it and micromanaging and overcomplicating the message of every single story. They want people to be as unhappy as they possibly can be this time of year. Just keep that in mind, because that's the overall goal. Thank you, Roger. It is March 28th for the rescheduled JT show. Back about, my wife and I have been together for, I'm going to do the math on this, probably should get it right, 16 years. And probably about 15 years ago, maybe it was about 16 years ago, she dragged me to a Christina Aguilera show. And I thought, you know, great voice, wasn't really the type of show I was interested in. She was working for a radio station at the time, and they were doing a promotion for that. But there was this guy warming up that people had kind of heard about because of his boy band, but didn't know much about him, and it was Justin Timberlake. And I will tell you that. I remember that show, and I remember being blown away by JT even then about how talented he was. So I think that is going to be a great show, and I think people are disappointed. I mean, these tickets went on sale 8 months ago, I think, if I remember correctly. So people have been waiting and waiting. The only good news is, unlike, you know, well, I guess U2, they did reschedule. U2 rescheduled too. But it is good when they're coming back, because a lot of times they logistically, you know, because of a Blues game or whatever. Here's the thing, though, with that date. I think the month of May might be pretty safe for Enterprise Center at this point. Wouldn't you say? I don't think we have to worry about much. So you had a moment on CNN last night, unfortunately. I think it sucks, but it is what it is. Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon talking about George Herbert Walker Bush's funeral. And Lemon can't help himself, because he's got to go right to Trump, and he can't focus on the moment at hand. And believe it or not, Chris Cuomo sort of, you know, slapped him down over this.
So the Obamas, what did you see that you want people to be reminded of?
I want to say that I don't think I would shake hands with him. I don't know. I would just, nope, couldn't do it. I'm not that big a person. I would hope that I would be, but I don't, I can't fake the funk, as they say. I'm not saying the Obamas did that, but there they go, right there.
Oh, I don't think it's about faking the funk. I think it's about showing respect for something bigger than them.
Why would they do it when he doesn't? But I understand what you're saying.
Come on. That's not the measure.
No, that's not, but They show. What are you talking about, Chris? They showed respect for the office.
Yes.
The way they conducted themselves in office. No scandal. There was no trash. There was no affair. There was no,
amen.
They showed the ultimate respect for the office. They do not have to show respect for someone who does not respect them. Someone who tweets out pictures of them behind bars of the president's. You don't have to show respect for that kind of person. Here, let me show you what I would have done.
You don't have to.
Let me show you. I want to show you something.
You don't
let me show
have
you what
to.
I would have done. Okay, come here. Come here, Dom. Come here, Dom.
Try to shake poor Don. You're petty and small.
Not petty and small. That's real, brother. That's real. And
real
it
petty
shows
and small.
You this is not. Nope,
wow.
It's not.
Cuomo calling Lemon. Now, keep in mind, this is the guy who said that white Republicans were the biggest terror threat in the United States. And he says stupid things all the time. And they're racist remarks. And he hasn't been punished by CNN. So a little controversy. I kind of like that.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
It is sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling. Get in your comfort zone with 0% financing from Air Comfort Service. Visit aircomfortservice.com. This is going to be a contender for audio cut of the year. Here you go.
I'm an Arizona Diamondbacks fan, and I'm pissed the off. This is the lowest, darkest, most ridiculous moment in Diamondbacks franchise history. The Diamondbacks trade of Paul Goldschmidt. If you wanted to just take a on a paper towel or something and hand it to the owner so he can save money and put more money in his own pocket. That's what we got in return. I realize that Goldschmidt has 1 year remaining on his contract. We paid him nothing. We f***ed him dry as an organization. He gave us everything. He's one of the top three players in the history of this team. And we can't even bring home the hometown talent, Gorman. You're telling me you can't get a Nolan Gorman for a Paul Goldschmidt? I don't care if there's one f***ing year left on his deal. If I'm Mike Hazen, and Mike Hazen, you are a f***ing that you just got done dry by Mozeliak the f***ing Cardinals. I am not wearing a Diamondbacks hat today. You may notice that. I never will again. In fact, the Diamondbacks. I'm over it. I'm not rooting for the Diamondbacks ever again. I live for that team.
Nolan Gorman, by the way, is the third baseman in the Cardinals organization. He's from Phoenix, so that's who he was referencing. I like that guy. I really do. And we thank him for his early Christmas gift, but I can understand why he's upset because I think the Cardinals won on this deal. That is your audio cut of the day. My producer informs me I read the wrong sponsor. I think he's telling me a lie, but I'm going to tell you the right one anyway, because I think I did. The Good Feet Store, flex spending and gift cards available. Some credit restrictions apply. Total information PM coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.